and welcome to today's episode on the Power of Payments podcast. I'm your host, Tatiana, the head of marketing at Amplifon, a leading payment and solutions provider in South Africa. Today, we are tackling a topic that many businesses have to deal with, whether they like it or not, and that is compliance and accountability in a FIC-led world. We have a vested interest in this conversation because many of our own clients operate in industries where FIC-related legislation plays a critical role, and understanding and adhering to these regulations isn't just a legal requirement anymore, it is an essential part for business sustainability. Non-compliance can have serious consequences, and our goal is to empower our listeners with the knowledge they need to stay compliant and thrive. To help us unpack the intricacies of the FIC and what businesses need to know, I'm joined today by Midrand-based attorney at law, Arnu Bosch, who specializes in financial regulations and compliance. Arnu, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Tatiana. Good to be here.
We have recently, and in many years past, seen headlines where South Africa has been placed on a little bit of a naughty list known as the grey list. Now, what does that actually mean for businesses trying to operate in South Africa?
So maybe a good place to start off with is what is FATF? And FATF is the Financial Action Task Force. That's a task force established in the late 1980s by the G7 countries. And essentially, the task force was tasked to ensure that there's global compliance when it comes to anti-terrorist funding, proliferation financing, etc. Now, what's basically happened in South Africa is we have fell short of that international standard, which is quite detrimental to the country because that impacts essentially everything, including investment in South Africa. So what is crucial for us is to get off the grey list. And crucial to that is, or central to that is, the Financial Intelligence Centre Act and then the FIC it's established in terms of that. FIC is the Financial Intelligence Centre. And they essentially need to ensure that our finance system is operating in compliance with those national, international standards, basically ensure that money laundering, terrorist funding, proliferation, financing, etc., that that's not monitored but acted against to ensure that our financial system is sound. So that essentially is where we are at the moment. It's currently a big fight to get us off the grey list. If my recollection is correct, I think there's another round in October or so this year to see where we are assessment-wise, which will probably not happen. So it will probably be the next round. But the FIC at the moment is very, very active.
All right. So we can safely say that the FIC has a very important role in South Africa's financial ecosystem at this point in time. Now, the question I feel a lot of the listeners might be having is, who actually needs to register with the FIC? Is this something that is pertinent to all businesses, or is it only ones operating in specific fields?
So it is field specific. It's all businesses listed in Schedule 1 of FICA. And those businesses includes the likes of credit providers, estate agents, attorneys, high-value goods dealers, etc. So there's a couple of businesses and fields that needs to register, and that registration is crucial. And I also think it's crucial to understand that for FIC to do its job, they are reliant on information and reporting by these accountable institutions, for one thing. So it's very important that when you fall under those categories that you do register, and obviously we're compliant with FICA and the FIC directives and so forth.
So we can say that accountable institutions or anyone under the FIC Act, obviously, this conversation is very pertinent to them. Now, you've mentioned registering with the FIC itself. Now, what does that process actually look like? What are some of the requirements that these businesses will need to comply with?
So the nice thing about FIC at the moment is that they are very interactive in the sense of sharing information and providing guidance, and everything can be obtained from their website, which is very nice. So there's two important websites, and that's the FIC website, which is fic.gov.za, and then there's the GoAML website, and that's where the registration takes place. So you need to register your business under the appropriate category, and that registration will include all your business information, your compliance officer, etc. And that's also where your reporting will take place. So the reporting is not a physical thing you'll need to send out. If you need to do any reporting in terms of FICA, that will happen on your FIC portal. So that portal is very essential. That portal is also the portal where FIC communicates with you. So if there's anything that you are required to do or provide to them, they will list a message on your notice board in your portal, and you would need to comply and reply to them. A good example is quite recently, all accountable institutions needed to submit their RMCPs, which I suppose we'll get to a bit later. And that notification came through on the portal. So you would have received a notification to say, guys, the deadline for submission of your RMCPs is this. Please submit it to the FIC prior to this date.
All right. So it is very, very clear and safe to say that, unfortunately, it's not just about registering with the FIC. Once businesses do that, there are actually actionable steps and continuous steps that they need to take in order to remain compliant.
Absolutely.
Now, you mentioned RMCPs, and obviously that accountable institutions needed to submit theirs for the year. What is that? What does that entail?
That is a topic that one can talk about for days, I suppose. But I'm going to try and simplify it the best way possible. So RMCP is a risk management compliance program. So what the FIC wants you to understand is it's an introspective environment or obligation you have in terms of your business. Let's take credit provision, for instance. What you need to do is you need to identify where possible risk in your business lies in respect of terrorist funding, money laundering, proliferation financing, etc., etc. So it's important to do that introspective assessment of your business to say, what is it what I do? What products and services do I provide? And where does the risk lie? And to do that assessment. And then how do I mitigate those risks? And the FIC has clear guidelines in terms of that. Section 42 predominantly deals with that. And then, obviously, a very important aspect of that is knowing who you're dealing with, your customer due diligence, and how do you treat those different customers. And then to apply a risk assessment to what you do and to your customer base. And based on that risk assessment, that will essentially determine on how does your business interact with those customers and what are your obligations, what are your reporting obligations. It is very important. I know a lot of people sort of just push it to the side and they get a consultant to come in, and we've been asked, can't you just provide us a template? But it's really not as simple as that. You need to sit and understand the intricacies and to understand what the FIC expects of you in terms of your program and your plan. Very crucial to that is education and training. So you'll need to train all your staff. Your staff needs training on FIC essentially and on your RMCP itself. Your RMCP needs to be accessible. So when FIC walks into your business, they will most likely not ask you as the owner and about your RMCP and about reporting requirements, et cetera, they will probably ask your staff to ensure that they've got the adequate training. It is a very important process to go through. My best advice and what we usually advise our clients is to say everything that's on FIC's website concerning what we need to do and the framework we need to comply with. Go have a look at it, read it, and we send the directives on and we send the guidance notes on and the PCCs and all of that's on FIC's website. And once the client has gone through that, and they understand what we're busy with in the framework, it's much easier to engage. Because essentially, you're supposed to do that yourself because you're the only one that knows, this is my business, this is my type of client, this is where my risk lies, and this is my obligation in respect of FIC.
Thank you so much for that. And tell me, is the RMCPs, I assume you can correct me if I'm wrong with this one, this is not a one-and-done situation. This is something you will continuously need to assess yourself, and your submission of the RMCPs to the FIC is a yearly thing, correct?
Not necessarily your submission, whenever there's a change, but it is absolutely an annual thing at the very least. And that's also something you need to set out in your RMC, is how often will it be reviewed? And you yourself will know when there's a need for a review of the RMCP. Us as a firm, I think we've reviewed our one 3 or 4 times already, and we're not in business that long. But we've had changes within our firm, certain departments closing, certain departments opening new services, etc. And that requires change to your RMCP because now we need to assess where's the risk. We need to look at mitigation of those risks. We need to do certain implementations to ensure that we are capable of dealing with those risks. So there's a continuous shift in your risk assessment and how do you address that type of service or new service or client base for that matter, in terms of your RMCP. So it is definitely a living thing. Your staff would need to get annual training on it. New staff would need to get training on it. So very important, living document needs to be reviewed whenever necessary, but at least once a year, which you will also need to set out in your RMCP. So no, absolutely a living thing. There is continuous change in terms of fixed directives and guidance notes they issue, and obviously amendments to the Act and certain directives. I always say it's, and we've had this discussion many times, where people sort of want to do the bare minimum. I've did an RMCP, I sort of checked the box, and now I'm out and I'm going on with my business. With this is not so. You need to make it part of your business. You need to understand it. And once you've done that and you've got your foundation correct, continuous compliance is going to be much easier. You'll understand the customer due diligence you are required to do. You'll understand, why do I need to do a check against the sanction list? Why do I need to do a check in respect of political influential persons or politically exposed persons, etc.? Why do those persons change my risk assessment, and why do those clients get different risk ratings, etc.? So once you have the necessary foundation to do continuous compliance in respect of it, is going to be much easier. Once you understand FICA and your RMCP, it will be much easier to ensure continuous compliance. So this is not a tick box exercise. I understand it can be quite daunting in respect of small businesses, because it's also a costly exercise, but very necessary. And there is a big obligation on FIC to get us off the grey list, and South Africa to get off the grey list, because it currently does harm to our financial environment.
Now, Arlo, I'd like to circle with regards to due diligence, screening, etc. Like you said, this is a continuous exercise that your business will need to undergo, your staff will need training, etc. But when it comes to screening, like you mentioned, with politically important influentials, etc., what exactly are we looking for? What are the types of things, or the types of screening that businesses, say, for example, in the credit provider space, what are things that they would be screening for in any case?
I think the most important thing to realize is that you are obliged to know who you're dealing with. And that is where the customer due diligence comes in. I need to know the individual that I am dealing with. With credit providers, it's possibly a bit more simple, because you're mostly dealing with individuals. Where you deal with companies, it is proper due diligence will entail due diligence of the company you're dealing with, its directors, its shareholders, its ultimate beneficial owners, so the individual that ultimately owns the company. But when you talk about credit providers or micro lenders, they usually deal with individuals. So the customer due diligence requires you to know who you're dealing with. So am I dealing with a politically exposed person or a politically influential person? Am I dealing with someone on the sanction list? If I am dealing with someone on the sanction list, you can't complete or perform that transaction, and you need to report that to the FIC immediately. With the so-called PIPs and the PEPs, you don't do reporting in respect of those individuals, but it's important for your risk assessment to know, I have a bigger risk because this guy is a minister or an MP or whatever the case may be. So he is more prone to let's call it corruption or whatever the case may be, but that is the reality. So the politically exposed person, politically influential persons are more prone to that type of thing. So they will naturally be a higher risk. So what do I then need to do? I need to ensure that I check up on them regularly, let's call it that. So I need to ensure that I do screen them regularly. I monitor the transaction with them. If they continuously pay me via debit order or EFT or whatever the case may be, and suddenly they come in with 40 or 50 or 60,000 rand cash the next time, that is something to be aware of. And that also requires reporting under certain circumstances. So the customer due diligence is essential in knowing who you're dealing with. And then obviously there's a reporting requirement to FIC. That is essentially what they get to ensure that our financial system is sound. As they act on those reports, they monitor the reports, they go into the transactions, et cetera, et cetera. So continuous need to make it part of your business. You are required to have a compliance officer. There are so many seminars and training sessions on almost on a monthly basis in respect of FICA especially. And it's important and very helpful to attend those courses and those information sessions. It just makes life easier. It is not a beast you can just set aside and say, look, I've done a tick box and now I'm continuing with my business and it is what it is. It's very much a thing that will evolve, that changes in respect of legislation and obviously changes in respect of your business. If you're a credit provider that's got 5 branches, your RMCP is going to look a certain way. Your customer due diligence is going to look a certain way. If you're changing to 50 branches, there's going to be a dramatic change in your compliance requirements, in your risk assessments, and obviously then in your RMCP. And that then requires change as well.
And then tell me, Arnu, with regards to the RMCP, because obviously we've realized this is a very important thing. We've now discussed the importance of complying with the FIC in of itself. But for smaller companies that don't necessarily have a whole department or a whole law firm on retainer to assist them with developing their RMCPs, what are some practical steps that they can take to sit and develop basically what they need for that document?
There's a framework in terms of FICA which you can utilize. Essentially, one would need to sit and say, what services do I provide? What customers do I service? So we need to assess the risk in respect of money laundering, terrorist funding, proliferation financing, and so forth. So we need to assess the risk. Once that risk is assessed, we need to say, how do we mitigate the risk? And what are we going to implement to mitigate the risk? I'll give a simple example. We as a law firm will have a reporting obligation if we receive cash as a payment of more than 50,000 rand. So what we have done to mitigate that risk and that we don't play any part in possible terrorist funding or money laundering, etc., we just made a standard rule that we don't accept cash at all. So we will only accept payments via the banking system. So it is important to know what your business is, the services you provide the clients you have. So that's the assessment part. And then say, look, this is what we're going to do to implement certain measures. We do a proper risk assessment and say, this is how we're going to deal with the risk, and this is what we're going to implement in the business to ensure that we are compliant and that risk is essentially not a real risk but a managed risk. It is not a wham-bam document. We've drafted quite a few, and I think the one that's got the least pages are probably 70 or 80 pages. So it is quite a document to go through because it deals with quite a lot of issues. Obviously, your risk assessment and how you deal with that is a big issue, but it deals with reporting because your staff would know, when do I report? One thing the FIC likes to ask your staff, will you be informing the client that you will be reporting the FIC, and people don't really know the answer, but the reality is it's an anonymous reporting. So you can't give the client a heads up. You're obliged to report without that customer or client knowing it. So there's no playing open cards with clients and say, look, because you are paying me 60,000 rand cash, I now need to report you to the FIC. So just know, you have that reporting obligation. So it deals with those type of things in the RMCP as well, which your clients, which your staff is obviously also important for them to know. And then it deals with the review of your RMCP. It deals with training, how you'll be conducting training. You need to keep a training logbook to ensure that there's proper training. How will you do screening, which includes screening of your staff, and then obviously your clients as well. It deals with customer due diligence. So quite a big and extensive exercise. But as I say, once you've done it and you know why you've done it and you understand the fundamentals and you have that foundation, continuous compliance is much easier. I think the big hurdle comes in is to make the first step to say, I need to know why am I doing this. Why is it necessary in respect of South Africa and essentially the whole world? Why is it important to have a clean financial system in South Africa? And what is the part I play in that? And what do I need to implement in my business to ensure that I do my part? And I think once you understand that sort of role you play, And you have the fundamentals, which I say is all there in terms of FICA, the Act itself, the directives, FICA issues, its guidance notes. I think once you have a complete understanding of this and taking that first step to say, this is what I need to implement to know that I'm compliant, and this is what I need to do being compliant going forward. I think once that becomes part of your corporate identity, continuous compliance becomes much easier. The problem is people do not really want to understand why they are doing things. And that makes it a bit of an uphill battle. So I think if one accepts that and say, look, I need to do this, this is not going away, and you have that foundation set up, continuous compliance is going to be much easier. So education to oneself is crucial. And if you understand that, I think you get over the first hurdle, which is probably the most difficult part.
No, definitely. I don't even want to call it a moral obligation, but an obligation itself to your business, to its sustainability, and to the South African financial ecosystem as a whole. And like we said, obviously there's importance to us getting off the grey list. That'll be very beneficial for everyone. But for, let's call it, the more stubborn folk or the people who are not really that interested in, like you said, educating themselves or taking that first step, what are some of the implications and the consequences of people not complying with the regulations in the FIC and even simply not registering with the FIC?
The best practical advice that I can possibly give or probably give is to go to the FIG website. They've got a little portal there that says sanctions and financial sanctions, and go see the list of sanctions that just been issued last month. The reality is there is pressure on us to make our financial system sound. There is pressure on us to comply with international standards. So that means the FIG is currently taking action. If we compare what the FIG's doing at the moment, let's say to last year or year before, they're doing 10 times more investigations. They're doing 10 times more inspections. And then they are issuing sanctions to all non-compliant institutions. To give you an example, for instance, in the credit space, obviously they have interaction with other stakeholders and other regulators. But for them, it's simple to go to the NCR, the National Credit Regulator, and say, provide me with a list of all your registered credit providers. They check that against the list that's registered with them. And if you're not registered with them, then they issue you a fine. We have got quite a few clients that had fines just in the last month, just for not having been registered or not having registered with the FIC. And the next step is going to be the RMCP. The submission was due in March. If you didn't submit, obviously they will see this credit provider is registered with me. There's no RMCP. They'll just issue you with a fine. So I think the stubbornness in respect of it needs to stop, and one needs to embrace and say, look, this is the role I play and we need to do something. You will get issued with a financial penalty or a sanction from the FIC. As I say, the pressure on them is quite huge. And it's not something that you will escape. And we've been trying to convey that to our clients. There's no flying under the radar here. You will get caught out. Make peace with it and be compliant and try to avoid it. Because it is a daunting thing to interact with FICA. Our interaction, to be honest, has been quite nice with them in the sense of they are understanding that this is a new arena or a compliance field in respect of the likes of credit providers, because they weren't always accountable institutions. So they have understanding in respect of that. But their patience is running out, and especially running low at the moment, because now it's been a while. They've been asking and pleading with the people and say, guys, please, let's get to a space where we're all compliant. You guys need to assist us to get to a financially sound system in respect of combating money laundering, terrorist funding, and the like. So it's important to get there. You will get caught out, and it will have a detrimental effect to your business. Not to mention only the admin, you're going to get caught up just to get compliant. But there's going to be a financial implication. And that financial implication can be both in respect of the company and also the directors. So compliance, very, very important. You will face hardship in the sense of sanctions, which will include financial penalties. So very important. It's happening. And as I say, go onto the FIG's website and check financial, the sanctions that they've issued. I see there's a lot of attorneys on there. There's a lot of credit providers on there. And it's not a scenario where you can provide an excuse. They just issue you with a sanction. So, you know, you're registered with the NCR. You're a credit provider. You're not registered with us. Here's your financial penalty. You've got X amount of time to pay it. And then you need to report back to us in respect of your compliance. And then to get that done, I mean, you're effectively going to need to close your business for 2 weeks, get cleared up on the FIC and FICA, and compile your RMCP, which as I say, is not an easy exercise, but once it's done, it's done.
There's quite a lot of consequences for you to not comply.
Absolutely.
And like you mentioned, there's no flying underneath the radar. They are coming for everyone. It's not just the big guys, it's small guys up and down, and those sanctions and financial penalties can be quite detrimental. Never mind, like you said, a forced shutdown for at minimum 2 weeks that you then sit with. Are there any key final takeaways that, or things that you would like our listeners to really pay attention to? Anything that you feel is of utmost importance, actionable steps that they can take today to ensure that they are compliant, they are ready, and they are not going to have any issues with the FIC, the NCR, or any of the above?
So in respect of all regulators or regulatory requirements, I think the first step is just educate. Understand why you need to do it, understand what you need to do, and I always say take small bites, but you need to start to do it. Essentially, all the regulators are getting a bit fed up with the non-compliance because it does have a detrimental effect on our financial system, has a detrimental effect on our economy. So I would say the first step would be to educate yourself in terms of the NCA, National Credit Act, the NCR. If we're talking about credit providers, those are the, and then obviously FICA and the Financial Intelligence Centre, FIC itself. Those two are two important regulators that you are going to need to deal with on an annual basis. There's absolute no ways you're gonna avoid that. You will be dealing with them, and you would need to report back to them, and you would need to submit documents and reports, et cetera. So, I would say education. Know why you need to do it. Know what you need to do, and then implement it. And seek help if necessary. That's fine. But it's not a process where you can say, this is my company, I'm giving it off to this consultant or attorney or whatever the case may be. Please complete and do the necessary. Send it back to me. I'll save it on a file and I'll tell everyone that's where it is and it's over and done with. If you don't understand what you need to do and how you need to do it, it's always going to be an uphill battle. So I would say probably the most key issue is education. There's so many seminars and everyone's presenting on these type of compliance requirements. So attend them, educate yourself, know what you need to do. And once that is done, to understand it's not a done deal in the sense of I've now done that and it's passed. Continuous compliance and that introspective assessment to know, am I still in, and everything that I have implemented, is that still applicable? And if not, make adjustments. And then obviously there's amendments to all these pieces of legislation, and other requirements come in on an annual basis basically. So it is something you're going to need to live and breathe to ensure that your business has a future, essentially, because these sanctions and penalties that these regulators can impose are dire. That's unfortunately the reality.
Like you said, this entire process might be an elephant, but how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, and you take a step from
Absolutely.
There. And like you mentioned, there are a series of educational resources, seminars, everything that obviously is available to everyone. Some of them are free, some of them are a bit paid. We will be sure to include a list of them in the caption for our learners so they can just have a look and see if there's any upcoming ones to help them educate in that regard. Thank you very much for that deep dive and helping us unpack some very complex thoughts and concepts at this point in time. Now, for our listeners in this instance, what are some key takeaways, things that they absolutely just need to take cognizance of? What would those be?
I think it needs to start with the business itself and willing to do the necessary to ensure that they are compliant. But what we've seen is that there are still this notion of being a tick box exercise, and I do the bare minimum, and hopefully that will suffice. The first step is to register with the FIC. That is a bit of a process. It is not a process that you can easily overcome. Again, the FIC has on its website the necessary assistance, exactly how you go onto the portal and register. We see the people that register thinks that's sort of it, and they don't go any further. You still have your RMCP requirement, and I know I've placed quite a bit of emphasis, and we've had quite a lengthy discussion about the RMCP, but it is your, call it Bible, it is your foundation of FIC compliance or FICA compliance in terms of your business, and that's why I place a bit of emphasis on it. But you need to compile your RMCP. And then we see a lot of people that have compiled their RMCP and they've submitted it. They don't really do what the RMPC should do in respect of customer due diligence and those type of things. So you need to understand it's an A to Z exercise. Registration is obviously a key component. Otherwise, you will get fined. Implementing the RMC is a key component. And part of that component is training. And then the ongoing requirements are also there. As I said before, it's a live document. There's going to be reporting obligations. So don't think registration is it. Don't think submitting the RMCP is it, and then I go on with my life. It is a continuous exercise. Education, as I said before, live with it. And once you've made peace with that, you'll be able to comply with the necessary requirements when it comes to these regulatory institutions.
Thank you very much for that recap, Arno. And hopefully all of our listeners and, as you said, continuous learners will take note of this. Thank you very much for your time today, Arno. It is much appreciated. And for any of our listeners that have any questions, commentary, or would like to get in touch with you, we will be sure to add your contact details at the bottom of the caption, along with all of the educational resources and the websites or links to the FIC website and everything else that we've talked about today so that anyone can refer back. And now that is it for my side. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Tatiana. We'll gladly assist. If people do not want to go onto the FIC website to find all these documents and they want to know how to draft an RMCP or want us to assist with that, we can do that. And if they just want the guidance, we can send them essentially what's on the FIC's website concerning what they need to do and how they need to be compliant. We've downloaded all the documents and we've gone through all the directives and the PCCs and the guidance notes. So we have all of that. Even if one of your clients or learners wants to check in and make sure that they're doing things correctly, they're welcome to do so, and our door's always open.
All right. Thank you very much, Arno, for that recap, and thank you very much for your time. It has been a pleasure to host you today on the podcast, and we look forward to engaging with you once again. For any of our listeners that would like to get in touch with you, we will add your contact details at the bottom of the caption for anyone who would like more information about the FIC or to get your assistance in drafting their RMCPs. Thank you very much.